Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. My name is Todd. I'm one of the pastors at First Family, and I'm really glad that you have joined us today for this episode. I sure enjoy bringing the Extra Point Podcast to you just about every week, and I want to say a special thanks this week, as probably over the last 3 to 4 weeks, I've just received a number of texts, emails, and just comments about how folks have appreciated even some of the episodes that have been challenging, or maybe there's been some disagreement on, or folks have written in to provide some other perspective. All in all, we've had good conversation and a lot of just really affirming messages about the value of the podcast and how folks are benefiting from it. And so I'm really humbled by that, very appreciative, love our audience, and love the fact that we have a chance to bring some extra insight, additional observation, further application to the text from which we preached the previous Sunday. And the text from which we preached last Sunday, it was the last three verses of 1 Thessalonians 1. And I just want to add one further bit of textual insight that I have found quite intriguing, somewhat delightful as well. As we look at chapter 1 as a whole, I tend to think, and this is somewhat of a, I would say maybe loose perspective, so don't press this too hard, but I kind of see chapter 1 as a synopsis of the whole book. In other words, as you read chapter 1, it's just 10 simple verses, but you kind of get a flow that Paul's thanking them for their response to his ministry personally. He mentions what it did in helping them grow, and then he closes by encouraging them towards faithfulness until the return of Christ. And then as you begin chapter 2 and read through chapter 5, it follows a very similar flow, but in greater detail. For instance, chapters 2 and 3 mainly deal with Paul's visit to them, his ministry to them, how he was received. It's within that section that my favorite verse in the entire Bible is found. It's 1 Thessalonians 2:13. But those chapters, you know, 2 and 3, they do kind of expand on his thankfulness for them, his thankfulness to them, his visit to them, their reception of him. Chapter 4 then expands really on their growth, not only their work of faith, but also their labor of love. It kind of expands into these areas, mentioning words like holiness and how to love each other, steadfastness. A lot of Christian growth topics come up in chapter 4. And then at the close of chapter 4 all the way through chapter 5, you really find a good bit on the coming of Christ, which I think is how he closes chapter 1. And so in a really neat way, and I hope you'll find this somewhat beneficial and just kind of intriguing, it seems as though chapter 1 is a short introductory, we could even say summary or synopsis of really what he does in the rest of the letter. And perhaps that's how a lot of folks even today write. Sometimes we provide an introduction to what we're going to say, then we actually say it, and it's just a longer version of what we did in the introduction. So that wouldn't be that uncommon in the letters we write or sometimes in the messages we preach and the talks we give. And I do see 1 Thessalonians in some way kind of formatted that way, where chapter 1's a synopsis, and then 2 through 5 seem to give us more detail in the same type of manner that chapter 1 is formatted. It gives us the same information, same format, just to an expanded degree. So I hope that helps you in your own Bible study, in your own personal walk through 1 Thessalonians, as we do this as a church, also as you do it individually, using your journals and different reading plans. I hope this helps you just appreciate the book even more deeply. In the same vein, I did receive a question that I think is quite insightful, and I appreciate it very much. This person asks, after Sunday's message and our kind of wrap-up of chapter 1, this person asks, is multiplication the only mission of the church? And I think they're asking, like, hey, we heard the message, we read the chapter, is that really all the church is to do? And I want to give a clear answer. The answer there is no. There are many things the church gets to do. We have lots of opportunity. But I would say that there is really one main responsibility of the church. And so instead of saying perhaps yes or no, which can sometimes be too exclusive, at least to this question, When someone asks, is multiplication the only mission of the church? We want to say no, but I would say multiplication is the main responsibility of the church. And so we have to look at it as a spectrum. Like, we have responsibilities, that's on one end, and then we have opportunities, that's the other end. And even along that spectrum, there are priorities among those. So there are priority responsibilities. So there may be four or five things the church is responsible to do. Those would be listed, though, in priority fashion. The same thing's true as it turns into opportunities. There may be four or five, maybe 20 opportunities the church has. But even those should be prioritized, because the church can't do everything, but it has to do something. And so those somethings should be prioritized. And that's why I say there is a main responsibility the church has. And my answer is this, that the main mission of the church is the Great Commission. And there are the things that we should be doing. Often the other epistles lay those out for us, like how to take care of widows, how to care for those who are orphans, how we invest our money, how we spend our money, how the church is supported financially, how the church goes about looking for its leaders, and what qualities mark an elder and a deacon. So there's a number of things the church has to do. If those things weren't all able to be done, what then would be the main responsibility of the church? Those are good questions to ask. I maintain, based on the last words of Jesus and chapters like 1 Thessalonians 1, which serve us in this way, they give us an overall summary of what church looks like. They give us a window into what the main responsibility is. It's not saying we aren't to do other things like grow in our faith, help with the needs of others, love one another, give and serve. It's not saying that we shouldn't do those, but they're kind of like assumed within some other categories of growth. And so they're not mentioned in like summary chapters or passages. What is mentioned explicitly is the sharing of the gospel, is the making of disciples as a larger goal. And so those things like the book of Acts, 1 Thessalonians 1, the Great Commission, which are the last words of Jesus, Acts chapter 1, these are all very important narratives at key locations in the overall narrative that show us something. There is a main responsibility of the church, or you could say there is a main mission of the church, and it is the Great Commission given to us by Christ, what we often say are his last words. Now, I want to reference also and recommend a book that has been very helpful in regards to this. In fact, its title is much like the question that was asked. This is a book by Kevin DeYoung and Greg Gilbert. The name of the book is called What is the Mission of the Church? And they do a fantastic job of just helping these two words take shape in our minds, hearts, and lives. The two words would be responsibility and opportunity. And they talk much about these in their book. It's about a 10-chapter book, not real long. You could read it probably in a day or two. But it's very helpful in understanding the priorities that the church should be about, the opportunities we have that are often mixed in with our responsibilities, and even how to prioritize those. So I want to encourage you. Be sure to pick up a copy of What is the Mission of the Church? It is several years old, but it's very, very good. Here's just one paragraph from that book that I found quite helpful. He says this at the end of that paragraph. He says, the mission that we're on is not everything God is doing in the world. In other words, God does a lot of things in the world that aren't necessarily the Great Commission. And that's good. God does all kinds of things in the world. Then he continues by saying this, nor is it everything we do in obedience to Christ. So the mission of the church doesn't mean that we don't have to do other things, such as good works, loving our neighbor, parenting our children. Like, you can list a number of things that we do in obedience that may not necessarily be the mission of the church. And his point is this, the mission of the church is not everything God is doing in the world, nor is it everything we do in obedience to Christ. And I like the way he puts that, because he's simply saying that there is responsibility, those are prioritized, and then there is opportunity, and those are prioritized. And so the church must be focused in how it prioritizes its energies, its finances, so that it accomplishes the main responsibility, or what he, and I would say, is the mission of the church, which is the Great Commission. He also mentions this one last paragraph that I think is beautiful. I want to read it to you. It's quite old, at least the quote in the paragraph is. This paragraph is by a Christian theologian, and he wrote this back in the mid-1930s. This is in the depths of the Great Depression. And he was addressing this very issue. Let me read for you what he wrote. It's several sentences, but I think you'll like this as we close our podcast today. He says, the responsibility of the church in the New Age, and he's referring to the New Age there as coming out of the Great Depression. So he says, the responsibility of the church in the New Age is the same as its responsibility in every age. It is to testify that this world is lost in sin, that the span of human life, no, all the length of human history, is an infinitesimal island in the awful depths of eternity, that there is a mysterious, holy, living God, creator of all, upholder of all, infinitely beyond all, that he has revealed himself to us in his word and offered us communion with himself through Jesus Christ the Lord, that there is no other salvation for individuals or for nations save this, but that this salvation is full and free, and that whoever possesses it has for himself and for all others to whom he may be the instrument of bringing it a treasure compared with which all the kingdoms of the earth, no, all the wonders of the starry heavens, they are as the dust of the street. An unpopular message it is, an impractical message we are told, but it is the message of the Christian church. Neglect it, and you will have destruction. Heed it, and you will have life. I love those couple of paragraphs from Gresham Machen, who was an early theologian for the church. And in that just brief bit of writing, he, I think, really, in a beautifully spot-on way, answers the question for us that, no, multiplication is not the only mission of the church, but it is the main one of the church.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.